State-of-the-art thinking on who pays for tariffs on Chinese goods. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We have new information on how the trade war is playing out in practice. Two papers published over the weekend look at the data on tariffs imposed last year. Marketplace's Erica Barris joins us to tell us about this research.
There were two schools of thoughts on these tariffs. One, that exporters would cut their prices so that consumers would end up paying the same price for products that now had an additional import tax. That way, consumers wouldn't feel the effects of the tariffs. The other school of thought was that consumers, not exporters, would bear the brunt. If exporters kept prices the same, consumers would end up paying more. Both of the papers published this weekend, both from different groups of researchers, found that consumers paid the full price for the tariffs we experienced in 2018.
Consumers paid. Now, how has this affected the buying habits of American consumers?
Well, there were tariffs on about 12% of what Americans import, and that's led to two changes in behavior. Consumers are buying more domestic products, and importers changed where they were buying, where they were importing things from, so from countries not facing these new tariffs. In the end, both of these trends led to higher prices for consumers and American companies buying these goods, according to the research.
All right, quickly, any other major takeaways?
One of the papers found that American companies selling abroad were hurt by other countries retaliating with tariffs of their own. U.S. exporters lost $2.4 billion a month in 2018.
All right, Erica, thank you. Market participants will also be seeing several published reports that the U.S. and China are closing in on a trade deal. These reports, including from the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg, cite unnamed sources and are not definitive. Let's do the numbers. FTSE, London, up 0.6%. Dow and S&P futures also up 0.3%. 1989, it's the year communism crumbled. That momentous shift may obscure another event from the same year. 30 years ago today, March 4th, Time Inc. announced it would buy Warner Communication, creating the largest media company, the headline of the Times said. The key word back then was synergy, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The Time Warner marriage created the world's largest media company, combining magazines like Sports Illustrated and People with movie studios, HBO, and records. Yeah, records. And it sparked other media industry weddings, says Scott McDonald, ex-research director at Time Warner.
There was a lot of one-upsmanship going on. ABC went to Disney. CBS and Viacom came together.
In 2000, the Time Warner giant hooked up with AOL just before the dot-com bust. And then it deconsolidated, dropping AOL, then its own cable TV arm, and then Time Inc. Industry analyst Jack Myers at Media Village says these big reorgs are responses to technology shifts, such as the internet and mobile, that disrupt business models. Today, three companies dominate.
Google, Facebook, Amazon, and everyone recognizing that they have to find new and different ways to compete with those companies.
Or, he says, they die. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
John in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wrote to say how much he enjoys our coverage of the economy and that Marketplace helps him make strong arguments and combat misinformation about financial matters. To join John in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. Last week, Danish toy maker Lego Group posted profits for the year. Lego today is the number one toy maker by sales in the company, which is privately held, says profits are up from a year ago. You may be also interested to learn that there's a robust secondary market for Lego, Marketplace's Justin Ho explains.
Back in 2009, AJ Holtz was in college and hoping to raise some cash. So he went on eBay to see if any of his old Lego sets were worth anything.
I was kind of just blown away by the value that some of these pieces were worth.
One of his minifigures, an Amazon Rainforest King, was going for almost $20. Entire sets today can cost as little as $40. So Holtz started buying up pounds of Legos on eBay and then reselling the valuable pieces for a profit. His strategy?
I zoom in on the pictures a lot on eBay, and I've been doing it just long enough now where I can kind of recognize pieces that might be worth something.
Like a tiny plastic feather he once spotted, meant for a minifigure, that went for almost $13 online. Thousands of LEGO transactions happen every day on independent sites like Bricklink and BrickOwl, which connect LEGO enthusiasts with even bigger LEGO enthusiasts.
A lot of the buyers are people who are in their 30s, 40s, and they're looking for something that's nostalgic from when they were a kid.
That's Nate Tobik, who's been buying and selling LEGO sets for about 8 months. His day job is running a banking analytics company called Complete Bank Data.
I'm a sucker for finding things that are cheap when they're mispriced, and this is just one example of that.
But investing smarts alone won't make you a LEGO winner. Caleb Johnson says successful sellers have to have a passion for LEGOs.
I am obsessed with LEGO, so I can spend hours sitting there sorting the pieces back and forth because I'm absolutely loving it.
Johnson got into selling LEGOs about 8 years ago. He was 15 and his family was living paycheck to paycheck. And to help out, he decided to sell some of his Harry Potter LEGO pieces, including a Hungarian horn-tailed dragon and a Mad-Eye Moody minifigure. He says those licensed figures were worth more than some of his sets. The sale netted him a couple grand.
It sparked my interest in selling. My mom realized, like, all these little, she calls them stupid plastic toys, actually had some money to it. So she actually, we're kind of like a team now.
Johnson does the online posting and the sorting. His mom cleans the pieces and meets with some of their local buyers. He says in 2015, he and his mom made enough money in the LEGO trade to take the family on a 2-week trip to Disney World. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
That extra glow in the eastern sky is the light bulb going on over my head. Just realized we have two bins in the cellar, which combined are about the size of a bathtub full of used LEGO. I forgot they were there. I wonder if no instruction booklets, not sorted in any way. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.